Welcome to Striving for Revival with Justin Cooper. This broadcast will challenge and encourage God's people to seek revival. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to Striving for Revival.
Welcome to the Striving for Revival radio broadcast. This is Brother Justin Cooper. I'm coming today from somewhere along the revival trail. My, what a privilege it is to have you join us for the broadcast today. And what an honor is mine to take the King James Bible and to share with you some eternal truth from the very Word of God. We'll continue today in Genesis chapter 43, and you can try and find your place there, and I'll give you just a few introductory comments as you do, and just a reminder that if you've missed any of these Bible studies prior to today, all of those are archived and waiting for you via our podcast, and we put those there so that if you miss us on the radio, you can find us anytime you find the time there on the podcast, and I pray that'll be a help and a blessing to your Christian life. And really, you know, if you listen often, that what we do, we just go through the verses and just explain a little bit about what's going on, and the goal of this is, the agenda of this is really just so that we might all grow in our knowledge of the Word of God, and then we can grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for you, and that's my prayer for my life as well. And in days like these, that's what we need. We don't need a bunch of weak Christians walking around out there in the world. We need some Christians who know who God is and know the Bible and are filled with the Holy Spirit. And in days like these that are so dark, our light needs to shine as bright as possible. And I'm praying God will use you to brighten up the darkness in your area, and that God will let me knock some holes in the darkness as well. Now, Genesis 43 continues this story, if you'll remember, where Joseph's brethren have now returned to Egypt. Egypt is the only place the world can go to at this time to get provision, to get bread. And so all of these boys are traveling into Egypt. Remember, they went the first time without Benjamin, and Joseph tells them they cannot come back without Benjamin coming with them, so he keeps Simeon there in prison, and sort of just as the enticement to get him to come back. And then now the boys have come back, and they've brought Benjamin with them. We're going to pick up our reading here in verse number 26, where these brothers, who still don't know that Joseph is Joseph, they don't realize that this is that brother that they betrayed, that they sold into slavery, that they have been living as though he's dead, that they have lied about, and they don't understand that this is him, and now they're in his house, all right? So verse 26 is where we will begin. The Bible said, when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant our father is in good health, he is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept. So all of this emotion that's been pent up inside of Joseph is now coming out. It's pouring forth because he's seeing Benjamin, who he has not seen, his younger brother, and he's seeing his brethren there, and he's hearing about his father, and that Jacob is in good health. He's doing okay. And all of this is just so much for Joseph that he has to excuse himself, and he weeps. In verse 31, and he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So we have an interesting scene here where Joseph has invited these men into his home to have supper, if you will. And the law in Egypt, the custom is that the Egyptians cannot mingle with Hebrews. And isn't that interesting? You think that God put some standards on you to separate from this world? The world doesn't want a Christian anyway. The world doesn't want anything to do with spiritual people. The world doesn't want anything to do with those who want to live like Christ. The world, separation, I'll tell people this, separation's not that hard. If you just do right, folks will separate from you. You'll find the wrong crowd kind of filters itself out. And here in this scene, we have three tables set. We have a table for Jews, a table for Gentiles, and then Joseph by himself there in the middle. What a picture, by the way, that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he is Lord of the Jews and Lord of the Gentiles as well. And I'm glad he is that one, thank God, that can bring us to together into that one spiritual body. The Bible talks about there in the book of Ephesians, that mystery, Jew and Gentile in one body, Gentiles being made heirs of the promise. And what a picture that is of these three tables that are set, Jew on the one side, Gentile on the other, and there's Joseph right there in the middle. He doesn't quite fit in with the Hebrews. He doesn't quite fit in with the Egyptians. Isn't that, I mean, just a great picture. All right, verse number 33. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Verse 1 of chapter 44. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sack with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. Now, Joseph is again going to mess with his brethren, and all of this is to bring it to the point we'll get to eventually, where Joseph makes himself known to his brethren, and his brethren are faced with owning up to the wrong that they have done to Joseph. And so here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the steward of his house fills up the sacks that these boys have. He fills it up with food, and he puts money there. And then he takes this silver cup, this silver chalice, and he stows it away there in Benjamin's sack. Now, there's a lot of preaching we can do on that, but I tell you what he's doing. He's putting something in the life of Benjamin that can be used to draw out the truth. He's putting something in his life that will bring him to a point where this thing can get made manifest. You know, God can do that in my life and in yours as well. God knows how to stick things, if you will, into our lives, and he'll bring them in there to bring us to a point, to get us to a place where we'll realize that we need to pray, get some things right, where we will realize maybe that we're not where we used to be with God. There's some things that God can do like that to get our attention. So the silver cup's in Benjamin's sack. And as soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in doing. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouth we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of the Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servant it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. So these boys say, we haven't stolen anything from you. Why would we do that? You've blessed us. We have all of this. We have our money. We brought money to you. We didn't steal anything. And they said, if that silver cup's in any of our stuff, the man who has it, kill him. Kill him. And he said, now let it be according unto their words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and shall be blameless. So here's what he said. He said, the one who has the silver cup, I'm not going to kill him, but he's going to stay here and serve Joseph. All right, verse 11. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched him again at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laid at every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell down before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And so here are those boys again fulfilling the dreams of Joseph, bowing down at his feet. They're bowing down to ask for mercy. And they have been caught red-handed, not knowing this is a scheme to bring them to this point. And they fall down at Joseph's feet. And Judah in verse 16 says, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we, and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. And Judah makes the statement. He says, what shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. They are finally feeling the sting of sin, though it not be necessarily throwing Joseph into the pit. They are having to confess that some wrong has been done. God is teaching them a lesson here. We're going to pick up this study next broadcast. Go ahead and read the rest of the chapter, if you will. Until then, pray with me for revival.
Thank you for joining us today for Striving for Revival with Justin Cooper. Listen at this time every weekday as we strive for revival.